Just for a clarification, I'll turn my mic on. No. Just for clarification, the lesson this morning was not so much designed from the standpoint to say that we are currently looking for deacons, but rather the idea behind it was is that we had been asked, people had talked to us about it, and we have looked, and there have been times when we visited with people, they chose not to serve. At that point in time, I would encourage people to men to work toward that end, to strive to serve as a deacon when you meet the qualifications. Having said that, some 8 years ago, a little bit better than 8 years ago, Tony and I were very blessed to have the opportunity to go to Europe. Kind of a once-in-a-lifetime deal for poor folk like us. And it was an eye-opening experience in a lot of ways. We were even asked by a couple of people to for me to do a Wednesday evening, just a really brief type thing on what we saw, some of the things, and what we saw take place, because we mentioned a few things about our trip. And since that time, I'd actually planned on redoing this into more of a full-length type of sermon. And even that, when we're finished, you're going to see that kind of a short in a way. But thought I would do that tonight. 8 years, 4 months, 5 months, something like that ago. The title of our lesson this evening is The Land Flowing with Milk and Honey. And let me tell you one of the reasons I did that. I called it that because when you stop and look about us today, and it was even mentioned in the prayer by Brother Ken just a moment ago, how in so many ways we're seeing our country go into a real serious moral decline. And it's really alarming. In spite of all of that, I really genuinely believe we still live in the greatest nation in the world. We'll talk about that again here in just a moment. We still live in a nation that I believe can be recovered from some of this moral decline. It's just going to take an awful lot of work on our parts to do that. In Exodus chapter 3, in verse 8, we read these powerful, powerful words. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. What a powerful promise from God. That He was going to take a people who at that point in time were coming out of Egyptian bondage. They had no nation of their own. And He pictured the land that He had forsworn to them, had promised them, as a land of milk and honey, flowing with milk and honey. What a great promise that must have been in their mind's eye. Of course, we know the rest of the story. But we go over to places like Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 34, and we read there that righteousness exalts a nation. And sin is a reproach to any people. We go to places like Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. There where we read these powerful words, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole of man. For God will bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be bad. And when we begin to talk about a land flowing with milk and honey, I understand. America is not exactly the land of milk and honey in many ways. We understand that we are facing a lot of problems in this nation right now. Things that were just incomprehensible 10, 15, 20 years ago. And certainly 30 and 40 years ago. People would have never dreamed about the moral decline and the decay that we have seen this nation undergo. It's easy for us sometimes, though, to be critical of the social and moral conditions in our nation, in our society today. We understand that it's easy to do that. Look around you. Many of our movies, many of our TV programs now are digressing rapidly into moral decay. Our actors, our actresses, and I'm probably politically incorrect by calling them actresses, live lives that reflect the same content as the movie and now the TV shows that they star in. No longer does art imitate life. Life is now imitating the art. Look at the political realm. Our politicians live lives that present really no better example and no better picture than the celebrities out there do. Nowadays, and I saw a new thing that just came out that just was absolutely startling. How many hits one particular pornography site received in 1 year? It was millions. One. And there are literally hundreds of them out there. And they're so easily accessible now today by our children. The general population, though, has seemingly given up on demanding higher moral standards than what we're currently receiving. It's almost like many people in America have just given up. We don't demand a higher moral standard anymore. And consequently, we're not getting it. Sadly, many within the religious realm today, people who profess Christianity, are now tolerant of things that we would not have dreamed about 15, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. It's mind-blowing. I read enough and I get enough stuff from the political or the religious world out there, and I see enough things that are showing up in news and things like that, where many of the religious bodies out there are just given over to it. Well, look, we're just going to agree to the same-sex marriages and all this kind of stuff. And applauding things like Bruce Jenner. And on and on and on the list goes. And it's sad. It's sad beyond words that we're seeing this kind of thing. How many people would have believed 20 or 30 years ago that many people in the religious world would now actually be, and I'm talking about religious bodies of people who are now saying that abortion is a good thing and it's the right of the woman to do whatever she wants to. And yet we're seeing that in the quote-unquote Christian world. Not to mention the secular world. But again, having said this, I still believe we live in the best country in the world. And there is time for us as Christians to go to work and do the very most and the very best that we can do to help this country not decline any further than it already has. We have a job to do. The Bible sets forth moral standards that we can look at and we can determine this is what is right for humanity because it's given to us by the God of all creation, the one who knows what we need. Having visited some of the countries in Europe, learned about their cultures and things of that nature, I'm still convinced we're better off than most countries in this world. My first point is called A City Is Given Over to Sin. Of all the places that we visited when we were over there, and I'm probably not going to hit on every one of them. I know we were in Germany and Austria and Luxembourg and France. We went through Belgium. Well, I can't think of any other, but we went to the Netherlands, known as Holland sometimes. The city of Amsterdam. And when I think about Amsterdam, in many ways you think about a place that is supposed to be beautiful and all this kind of stuff, and they've got these canals where they have boating and all this kind of stuff. It really is an interesting place in a lot of ways. But it had to be the least pleasurable place that we went to. It was a city that was given over to sin. Even our tour guide made the statement as we were on our way into the city that it was hard, actually, to break a law in Amsterdam. They have so few laws in Amsterdam that basically you are allowed to do anything you want to there. Almost anything goes in Amsterdam. It's legal. In fact, the EU, the European Union, has still not completely been unified because they have never brought the Netherlands in because of the liberalism of Amsterdam. That is one of their problems with Holland, the Netherlands. Holland, as a nation, has not forced Amsterdam to change some of its laws. And the rest of the members of the European Union will not fully accept this nation of Holland into the Union because of that. It's a big hang-up. It's a problem. And outside of Holland using the euro, that money standard, as their monetary standard, they're really still outside of the European Union. When you went to that city, though they have a lot going for it, or could have a lot going for it, you almost had a sense where you felt just a little bit grimy, a little bit dirty. Let me tell you why. It's not about the fact that you felt dirty in a physical sense, though it was not as clean as most cities that we saw over there. Rather, it was the sense that you felt kind of dirty and grimy from a moral sense. The atmosphere of the city almost made you feel guilty to even be there. There were cannabis or marijuana shops all over the city. It is legal there still to this day to smoke marijuana on the streets. In fact, sadly, while we were there, we actually saw, obviously, teenage kids sitting on park benches and places like that on the corners of the streets, and yes, they were smoking marijuana at the time. Amsterdam acts like there is no problem there. They act like, well, we don't really have a problem here. They just feel so good about how open their society is and all of this. But the truth of the matter, when you talk to people, and you talk to people who know their situation in that city, there is a huge drug problem. Not surprisingly. And the story doesn't end there. Close your ears if you don't want to hear this, but Amsterdam has open, legalized prostitution. Oh, yeah. While prostitution is legal anywhere in the city, it is for the most part contained in, quote, the red light district. Yes, they actually do have one of those. Throughout the downtown area, there were shops of all sorts of paraphernalia available, and children walked the streets by it on a day-to-day basis. Yeah, they're predominantly in one area, this particular district. But children are subjected to that kind of thing on a regular basis. And I'll tell you, if you want to know more about it, what you could actually see in giant display windows. It was shocking. The city itself has virtually been given over to sin. That's basically what it boils down to. While we were over there, point two is that there was a nation in the making that was turning into a godless nation. Germany is an amazingly beautiful country. We saw nothing in the country that was not absolutely pristinely clean. It was an amazing thing. I'd never seen anything like that in my life. You compare the streets of any city, and I'll say just about any city in the United States, and we look like a trash dump because of the litter and stuff like that that you see on our streets. Germany borders on being fanatically clean. You don't see litter in that country. And I'm not kidding you. You don't see it. When's the last time you drove down the highway that you didn't see somebody's McDonald's cup or Whataburger cup out on the side of the streets or down in the ditch? You can't walk through one of our cities or towns like that. You can't walk through one of their cities or towns and see it. And if you do, don't blink, because somebody's going to be there to pick it up and put it in a trash bin. They have workers all over the cities doing that kind of thing. So it doesn't matter if you're in the country or you're in a big city. The two big cities that we really went to or had any association with were Frankfurt and Munich. But right down to the smallest of villages, everything was just perfectly clean. Unlike the Netherlands and Amsterdam, Germany is overwhelmed with laws. I was told while we were over there that Germany and the Germans have a law for just about anything that you can conjure up in your mind. And because of that, yes, they are very heavily taxed. You have to pay for the enforcement of all of these laws that they have out there. You have to pay for somebody who his total job is to walk the streets, and if a plastic bottle drops on the ground, they pounce on it and put it in the trash bin. That has to be paid for. Every kind of law imaginable. And talking about taxes, we learned while we were over there that they have a very interesting tax. Are you ready for this one? They actually tax individuals for belonging to religious bodies. The government doesn't want to refer to it as a tax, but the German people say, yes, it is a tax. I kind of notice that sometimes. Our government sometimes, regardless of whether you're in this country or some other country, well, it's not really a tax, we're going to call it this. The people say, oh yeah, it's a tax. We get you can pull the wool over some people's eyes, but we've been taxed enough, we know the truth. But there is actually a tax on individuals for belonging to a religious body. And in addition to that base tax that it costs you, people have to pay an income tax if they claim affiliation with a particular religion. So it's almost a double taxation there, or it is a double taxation. And as a result of that, we heard from German nationals, as well as people who had been stationed over there in Germany for some time, that most people will no longer affiliate themselves, actively participate with a religious body. In fact, they have even quit attending worship services because it's an additional tax to worship God. Now, do you see why I say we have a godless nation in the making with Germany? When a nation gets to the point that says, okay, you're going to be taxed because of this, because you have a religious belief, because you have a religious affiliation. Here in this country, if something like that happened, probably what they'd be doing is they'd be looking at your tax return. And they'd be looking at it saying, okay, this person gives X number of dollars every month or every week to the Lord's church over here in Taylor, Texas, so we're going to tax that person in addition to what they give. we might not be too inclined to go to worship services either, or at the very least, I bet you everybody's giving cash. People no longer want to be participating in religious activities. The government entities now, and this was even 8 years ago, I don't know how bad it is now, but the governmental entities would actually plan events that the people could participate in and do, and actually plan those on Sunday purposely, so that the vast majority of Germans would view that as a day to do these activities and plan and do these games or whatever they do, instead of going and worshiping, instead of recognizing the first day of the week as being the Lord's day. It's become just simply a day of leisure. Folks, church attendance, we were told, has been on the decline in Germany for decades. And some actually believe that in the near future, religion may actually be virtually dead in that nation. Now, why am I telling you all this? Because we have not reached that point. We need to be thankful. We need to be grateful for what we have. We need to be thankful regardless of some of the ills that we have in our country. Oh, yeah, we have problems. But we still have a lot to be thankful for, and I think we have a lot that's valuable enough to fight for. I think we as Christians, as members of the body of Christ, need to take this as an opportunity, just as Christians, to try to help get people on the right moral footing again. Make that our goal. Make that our emphasis point in our lives. Where has our morality gone? Why do you believe like you do now? When did a baby inside of its mother's womb not be a person and subject to murder? And help people to understand that we still have a great nation, and it can be greater in God's eyes. There technically is one Christian nation, and that's the Lord's church, the kingdom of Christ. But we could be a more Christ-like, more Christian nation in ideals and principles. But we have to be the ones to do it. As I said before, so many within our quote-unquote Christian world, with what we think in terms of Christendom, have given up on a lot of the moral standards that God set out centuries ago. We have to be the ones to get that standard and bear that standard, that we want to bring this country back to a moral standard that has not been seen in years and years. Because if we don't do it, nobody will. If we don't do it, nobody's going to do it. Because like I said, so many people in the religious world, not to mention the secular world, have given up on God's standards of right and wrong. We still live in a great land. Let's make it greater. Let's be that example. Let's be that influence in our communities as a standard of right in the sight of God. If there's anyone here who's never been obedient to the gospel call, we ask a simple question: why not tonight? If you're not a Christian, you know what you need to do to be saved, and you've been putting it off, but you're ready to be baptized and have your sins washed away by the precious blood of Christ, why not tonight? If you're a child of God and you strayed away, you need to come back to God. Once again, get on God's winning team. Because when God's on your side, you ain't going to lose. Like that word ain't, you're not going to lose. But whatever your need may be, just somebody to study with, somebody to talk to, we're here to assist in any way that we possibly can. If you need to respond, won't you come as we stand and sing this song.
Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to pray.